All right.
Exactly.
Eric basically said, hey, it's hard to get good answers to questions sometimes. And so I would like to have kind of some clarity of this specific question. We've done our very best to answer. Sometimes the reason answers aren't as clear, you can sometimes blame it on politician speak, double speak. Oftentimes, though, the difficulty of explaining complicated situations and this discussion that we're having about where funding should come from and the proper role of government with the separation of powers vertically and horizontally, they're great discussions to have, but they become complicated in a hurry. We're all agreeing that the general government has responsibility. We're also agreeing that, hey, you know what, we're states' rights guys and we're local community guys. But when these people are overrun, by, in my opinion, an administration that is contrary to the rule of law in this country, that needs to be stopped. And sometimes when those actions cause the counties to be overrun, which is what we see in a lot of places, there's got to be a median solution here, or a solution where we say, hey, everybody's coming to the table, right?
Well, and a lot of these people invited this into their communities. I'm not, look, the federal government failed, but then you had state mayors and state governors saying, we're sanctuary cities, sanctuary counties. And now you want to, they want to turn around and cry about it. The fact is, they invited this mess into their front. You know, we would have, the government would have felt a lot more pressure a lot earlier on had these cities and these states not been accepting all these folks that came in this country illegally with open arms. But because they did, it allowed our federal government to continue to allow people to come into this country. And so a lot of these places are dealing with the mess that they created. That's the reality of it. And they need to shoulder some of that because
I
their
agree
policies.
100%. And we probably need investigations, Sheriff Lamb, to determine, you know what, did they make these decisions because they got USDA or USAID money or whatever, you know, what other slush fund cash did they get to do or say or to promote whatever? And so we need to follow the money and connect those dots too, because some of these politicians, if they took illegal funding for improper purposes, and maybe these people need to go to jail too.
I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done finding out who was subverting this this country, who was acting treasonously. I mean, there's a lot of people that were outwardly trying to damage this country. Initially, when this administration took over, the Biden-Harris, Mayorkas, when they first took over, I thought these guys either really dumb and really bad, or this is very intentional. It didn't take very long for me to realize it was very intentional. And I think people should have to be able to respond to it. And as far as state and local, I would say this. You're going to hear a lot of people saying, we're not going to cooperate with, you know, the federal government. We're not going to do these mass deportations. Title 8, USC 1324 says you cannot conceal, harbor, or shield anybody that's in this country illegally. So those folks are going to really run the risk of being charged. And I think that we have an AG in this country that's willing to charge them and has the fortitude to do it.
Amen to that. Hey, real quickly. I know you got to go pretty quick, but we'll keep you as long as we can. I love your background. Sheriff Lamb, first you have looks like you have the Constitution.
Right here.
Right. Then, of That's course, right. You have a beautiful flag. You Thank have the you. Eagle, and I have a very similar eagle right here. My eagle is over here to my right. There's my eagle. And you have a beautiful painting of George Washington. That's Arnold Freeburg, right?
That's right.
Yes, and I love that painting.
This
and,
is
and then, of course, John Wayne. Now, I have a little John Wayne here, and this was put out by the Franklin Mint. But you'll notice on here, I got this about 25 years ago from the Franklin Mint. Guess what county is on there? Guess what county?
Please tell me Pinal, or does it say Graham?
It says Graham County.
That's cool. So I got this from the Claremont Institute. This was the first American Sheriff Award they gave out. And this is a bust of John Wayne. It's not light. It is very heavy, but I'm honored to display it because I think the Claremont Institute is doing a really good job of training sheriffs. We also got this bobblehead. You got one of these? I don't have a John Wayne thing, Graham County on it, but I got a little bobblehead with the flag here with the wall behind me.
The bobblehead makes me dizzy.
And then I've got this at the front of my desk, which is Crossroads, but it's the cowboy praying with the horse behind him.
Oh, absolutely. Love. Well, I love all of it. I love all of what you've done there. And I love the work you did. And just fantastic, Mark. Thank you so much, Sheriff Lamb. You've actually changed history within the movement, especially of sheriffs. And what you did to taking the stand that you did. When I watched you on Fox News that day, I said, "Man, I'm sure glad I endorsed that guy." You know. So thank you so much for the work that you have done and that you're doing. I know that you're young and you still have a lot of work to do. And we all, just like you said, we all have a lot of work to do. And we're still pushing for funding of our CSPOA. We're still pushing for more memberships from people joining our posse, where we get a bulk of our funding. And a guy just called me before the show and said, "Hey, I want to keep donating. You're doing a great job, Sheriff Mack. Thank you so much for what you're doing." But I asked you what it would look like if we had, you know, 1,200, 1,500 sheriffs. What would it look like if we had several million people that were also part of the CSPOA? Just ordinary citizens, like the comments that we're getting from people. What would it look like if we had as many members of, as the NRA? What would it look like if we made the CSPOA a vogue and very common name across America? Because it's the people that are in charge of their sheriffs, and the people could tell their sheriffs, "We want you to keep your oath. We want you to know and understand the Constitution. We want you to enforce the Constitution and defend us against all enemies, foreign and domestic." That's not happening yet, is it?
Well, and what we need is, you're exactly right. The people is the power in this country. The founding fathers knew it when they wrote the Constitution. They said, "We the people." They understood that the Constitution is a guardrails for government. You know this, Richard. Your case was based on them getting outside of those guardrails, and you had to make sure that they were put back in the guardrails. But I don't think the average citizen realizes just what the power is of being a citizen. You know, somebody recently asked me, "Well, Sheriff, we're sorry to lose you as a sheriff." And I said, "If you thought Sheriff Lamb's voice was powerful as a sheriff, wait till you hear Citizen Lamb's voice, because really, I don't have, now the Constitution is my, instead of guardrails for me, it actually protects me as I move forward and do what I need to do and be a voice for freedom, for the Constitution, for family, for God. It's actually God, family, freedom, and the Constitution in my book, but those are the things that I fight for. And being a citizen is really where the power is in this country. And the way we get do that and the way we use it is through groups where people can, like-minded people can come together and support important positions like the office of sheriff in this country, because it is the last line of defense for freedom.
So Sheriff Lamb, Jen has a question. She says, "Mark, please come back. We need you." And then basically they say this: "Hey, just got off the phone with one of Sheridan's deputy chiefs, as we were promised a meeting from Sheridan himself, but now we're being pushed off. And I want to respond about Sheridan a little later and say he's a great guy. You need to give him a little bit of time to kind of get a handle on everything." But then they say this.
Well, I just, Sam, to interrupt you a little bit here. I just talked to him this morning twice, and it took him 10 days to get back to return my call. Did I get mad or upset? No, because I know what he's going through, for heaven's sakes.
Give him some time. His arms are full. Trump is the same way. Okay, we're doing our best. Then they say this, though. "We work with trafficking in our counties. One aspect is the detriment to children who are kidnapped from their families, CPS and judges, money grabs, the list goes on and on. Are you able to direct us on best practices when sheriffs keep telling us that, unfortunately, there's nothing they can do?" I think that's a worthy question.
Yeah.
So they want to know what to do if the sheriffs are redirecting them?
Well, first of all, if they're saying, "Hey, we've got trafficking going on in our area. We've got evidence that we want to produce. We've got specific kids in harm's way. We talk to the sheriff, and he just kind of pushes us off and lets it go and doesn't do anything. What do we do? What's your advice?"
Well, you can't stop. You know, look, if I had stopped every time I hit a barricade or an obstacle, I wouldn't have gotten anywhere. Look, nobody wants to do the uncomfortable work. So whether it's your sheriff's office or local police department or FBI or NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, please put those, report it. Keep calling, keep saying things. It's important to make sure that your voice continues to be heard. Sometimes they don't always move on it in the first point. Let me just be realistic as to what our capabilities are. I, as a sheriff here, we have 500,000 people in this county. I had two sex crimes, children crime detectives. And I had other sex crime detectives, but I couldn't even go after like the vice stuff. Vice would be women that are being trafficked for sex, because there's so many child predators that are out there that I had to dedicate those guys as resources. And every case you do requires you to write a search warrant on the house, a search warrant on every electronic device you find in the house. They are very labor intensive cases. So I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you, we are overwhelmed, unfortunately, sadly and disgustingly, with predators in this country. And I'm glad to see God coming back in it, because I think that's a big part of it. But we've had some real monsters in this country. And I guarantee you the majority of the law enforcement agencies across this country are very overwhelmed, understaffed with this issue. So just keep reporting it. Don't see something, say something, especially when it comes to trafficking of children and women.
And just to add to what you have to say to this, people understand, whenever you have an immoral society, you're going to have crime and rape and pillage and plunder and abuse. And whenever you have a good moral people that look at it like God, family, and country, and I'm talking about the fundamental unit of society, the family, a God-ordained family, then 90% of the problems that we're all debating about and frustrated about and everything else go away. Yep. And so anyway, I know that's a general answer to a very specific question. What you can do, as Sheriff Lamb said, is never stop. You've got to continue to put evidence in front of people. You've got to realize that an individual sheriff can't solve every problem that they face. They've got prosecutors that have to be involved. There's county commissions that there's three branches of government, people. And then you've got the state in relation to that as well. And so, you know, the problem is that, hey, 3,000 jurisdictions, what happens when it crosses from one jurisdiction to another? What happens when, and a lot of these kind of moving of people, whatever you want to call it, this trafficking does that. It crosses not only state lines and county lines, but international lines. And therefore, every case is very complicated. And so I'm not trying to get anybody off the hook, but I am trying to be realistic about, hey, if there's a framework to work from, maybe we can make a lot of progress. But while the people are immoral, I doubt it's going to get better, Sheriff Lamb.
And I got to interrupt again, because I know we're going to lose Sheriff Lamb pretty quick. So, Sheriff Lamb, I announced on this webinar that you conducted a criminal investigation on Alejandro Mayorkas. Can you offer any update as to what's happening with the case? Is it going to be prosecuted? Ah, we already lost him. Doggone it. Okay, well, he had to go. Anyway, folks, we're really glad that Sheriff Lamb was here. He's all over the country. He's a consultant right now for I think it's FAIR. I think that's what he said. And that's a group out in Washington that are really concerned about the border and illegal aliens. We were pushing also CSPOA, with your help, was pushing getting criminal investigations done on the Biden administration. And Sheriff Mark Lamb told me face-to-face that he had already conducted such a criminal investigation on Alejandro Mayorkas. And it was on the county attorney's desk, but the last county attorney in Pinal lost, and now the new one is there, and we really got to follow up with that. And I will talk to Mark and see about that later and come back on this program next and report it. But we've got to follow up on that, because I think it's huge when it comes to accountability of the criminals and the treason that happened the last 4 years.